This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Yeah, another chance to win $1,000 is coming up this hour as well, right here on your Turn It On, Leave It On station. We will have national championship storylines you can use coming up at 3:20. Fish is out today. Fish asked for the show off, and we said absolutely. Okay.
Sick of him anyway, you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, that'll happen. Yeah. It happened from time to time. Fish has been doing segments with us for probably, is it 8 years? Probably eight years.
Probably five too many, you know?
He's been on the long haul. And we salute him for it. And, you know, we hope whatever's keeping him from the show will be resolved. And he'll be back tomorrow at 3:20 right here on your Turn It On, Leave It On station, 105 through the Fan. Let's talk about the big sports stories going on right now, including what insiders are saying about Lamar Jackson after the divisional disappointment. This is from Mike Sando in The Athletic. He does a piece every week called The Pick Six, where he looks at, you know, six really interesting storylines from the most recent games. And a great piece this week. My thought on Jackson is I just want to see him do it for longer. I'm definitely sold that he can do it. Can you do it without a good offensive line? It's kind of like where Dak is. Because I think what the Titans showed is defenses can be good enough no matter who your runner is, that in the wrong matchup, they can contain you. And now you're going to have to pretty much win from the pocket. You know, I think that's what's happened the last two playoffs. And maybe Lamar Jackson evolves past that. But I don't know if he will. You know, and if he is where he is right now for the rest of his career, certainly there are some paths to the Super Bowl that might be totally clear for him. But there is the chance against the right pass rushers, against the right run defense, and the right mobile linebackers and defensive backs that tremendous advantage that he enjoys can be negated. Or, you know, he just turns it over three times. That's the crazy thing. But there's no doubt some of the stuff that he did, even Saturday, was so special. I love this from an executive said on Lamar Jackson. He gave me chills, especially on the play where he left Adoree Jackson just standing there. Jackson was a 25-foot long jumper who tried out for the Olympics, and Lamar Jackson left him standing there like he was me, throwing the ball. He is not quite as good, but it's all part of his package, and you have to give him credit. So it is, you know, unbelievable, the quickness. I don't think we've ever seen anything quite like him in the quarterback position when it comes to, you know how they talk about how unathletic guys or relatively less athletic guys, you got to get really, really good at reading the body language and where the other guy's going, and then you can catch him off balance and change directions really good, and boom, you know, hey, look at that. You don't have to be quick to be good at sports. Well, I feel like he's got that.
Except
yeah, he's also the quickest guy to ever do it.
Yeah.
So it's exceptional. But I think this does go to, even if you're as good as possible running the football, how reliable is that against a variety of modern defenses? Because now we have two trips in and two exits with, you know, defensive teams that weren't necessarily super reputed to be dominant defensive efforts. This wasn't the 2014 Broncos or anything you're going up against, but a playing style. Or is it just a quality of the playoff team that you find in January compared to your regular week in and week out fare in the season?
Now, I'm going to excuse you from this being just hating. I think it's relevant because they have Lamar's 0-2 in playoff games, right? So it's relevant, but I think that game comes down to you stopped him on 4th-and-1 twice, and that just hadn't happened all year. So I have zero doubt. If anybody wanted to make a wager that Baltimore plays in the AFC title game next year,
I think
that was just a product of your any given Sunday. Things can happen, and things happened for Tennessee, and they were able to stop them on 4th-and-1 a couple of times, and the game turns on that. Their offense was almost what it was all year. They just didn't score because at bad times they had a play that didn't work that ended drives. But I think that they were still kind of the same offense. You throw for, and part of it's that they were trailing, but quarterback's responsible for 500 yards. They're able to move it on every drive, but you get to 4th-and-1 twice, and you get stopped, and all of a sudden, you lose.
Okay, this is Sando's pick six here in The Athletic.
He's probably a hater.
They say a couple of rough playoff outings do not necessarily mean opponents have solved Jackson and the Ravens, even if the better defenses are gaining ground against him. Anytime the quarterback is involved in the run game like that and you can take a safety out of the middle of the field to play the run, they have a numbers advantage. A former offensive coordinator told Mike Sando, that will be the same no matter what film anybody else watches. The other thing that sticks out is the jump that Lamar made from last year to this year was so noticeable and demonstrative. He will make another jump next year. It won't be as much, but it will be in the area of throwing the football, which can help in some of these situations when they are trailing. And that is what Sando uses to segue into another part of the story. When Lamar Jackson is ahead, the defense is worried about the run. They bring in the 23 personnel, multiple tight ends, multiple backs. And from that, Lamar Jackson can run devastating play action. When you're down two scores, three scores, now that doesn't have the same impact on the defense when you run that out there.
And maybe it would. Like, that's what I wonder. Because I had people asking the other day about something related to that, where it's like Lamar threw the ball 59 times because they were behind. But did that have to be their plan, or did they bail too early?
Yeah, did they panic
on what their offense is? And I think they probably did because it felt like they were behind so much because it's a 45-yard touchdown and it's a Derrick Henry 66-yard run. And so now you're down, what,
but
two or
three scores.
But it's
early enough. You could just execute if you believe in your defense.
Right. You could just run your offense. But they were like, oh, down two scores. It's time to scrap it and start winging it around the field. And I don't think they needed to.
But isn't it remarkable? And against Lamar, and I'm asking you all the question, and you can send in on a Flex Leasing fan text, is it valid criticism or is it small sample size hating, right? Because didn't it show that if you make the offense run more with wide receivers and spreading the field out to try to get points, that doesn't work?
Yes, especially if your wide receivers aren't good. Especially if Willie Snead can't catch and the only receiver that can get open is a rookie. I think that team has more building to do, but I don't take away from the fact that in the regular season, I think they were like plus 200 points. They were the best team in football, wire to wire.
I think it's both. I think this. They took him with the last pick in the first round, Lamar Jackson, just two drafts ago.
He's better than they thought he'd be.
Yeah, I don't think they knew that they would be building around him that quick. I think they still had the goal of, with Joe being there, Flacco, I think they were like, hey, maybe he has a year or 2 years left, and then we'll maybe start progressing to how do we build a program around Lamar. But Lamar comes in because Flacco gets hurt. They start winning. And then so far, you have a limited amount of draft picks and a limited amount of money to start building around Lamar Jackson. I think they've done a good job in one offseason on how to set up a program that's going to best suit Lamar Jackson. He's going to be the MVP of the league. And now to Jeff's point, I think they're going to work on the other things that they need to do because they have a great position with Lamar Jackson in that he still has 3 years of a rookie contract left that they can build around until they have to then give him the $35 to $40 million that he's probably going to get. So
might
I see
be 45 by then.
Yeah, and I see, but it could be. I see both your points, but I think Baltimore, what they've proven through kind of, let's just say, the 20 years that the Cowboys haven't proven is they know how to build.
Yeah,
they know how to take something and then build it into a championship contender and win a championship. And so I would trust their organization in, okay, this is one off season. Now this is the second off season with Lamar Jackson. He turned himself into an MVP. We need to keep him at an MVP level and then give him more assets to work with. And what do we do with this such a unique talent that to me has only been seen through Michael Vick?
Well, and hopefully they can keep building because – part of what you're talking about, Mike, you're talking about, I think, almost exclusively, 22 years of Ozzie Newsome as GM. And this was his first year not being the GM. Right. So who knows if they continue to build as well as they have, because that dude was a Hall of Famer. He should probably be the first guy in the Hall of Fame twice. He should go in as a player and as a GM. Yeah.
Okay, speaking of the Hall of Fame, do you guys think the Cowboys would go to the Hall of Fame game? Are they a candidate? I saw Pittsburgh is likely going.
Oh,
when you have a high-profile guy
that'd be a good idea. Dallas versus Pittsburgh with Cowher and Jimmy going in the hall. That makes all the sense in the world.
Okay.
Right?
Be majestic.
Yeah.
Do they try – I don't know. Do they try to, do different teams? Because didn't the Cowboys just do it in 2017? So then in 2020 they get to do it again?
I think they did it three times in the decade.
Okay.
But they do also try to get two teams that have a people relevant care. Guy going into the hall.
And that people care yeah. about.
Right.
They want to get people watching that ceremony.
Yeah. Let's get that extra week of training camp. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
It would probably help Mike McCarthy, right?
He'd yeah.
probably love that.
He'd love it.
So you can, yeah. Hey, the team's already getting a couple of weeks head start on the offseason because of the new coach.
I don't think this had a deal to do with how bad the Cowboys played this year relevant to what we thought they would be. Is I wonder how much it hurt them to have to travel to Hawaii and kind of break up training camp. And it's still, look, I get it. We get to go to California. It's beautiful weather in August when it's 105 degrees here. There's honestly no reason to go to Oxnard, no. California. Like, it's just putting pressure on the organization to move everything from Frisco, where they have this billion-dollar. Look at what Mike McCarthy just said. Like, nobody has this. Yes, they have outdoors, and it's very tough to practice outdoors in August here. But I'm pretty sure New Orleans practices in New Orleans for their training camp. Houston practices in Houston for their training camp. Yeah. So why? I get it. For us getting to go to California, I get it.
I don't mind it. Yeah.
But we shouldn't be moving to California for half of training camp, then going to Hawaii for another part of training camp, and then coming back to Frisco for your last part of training camp. Wouldn't it make a lot more sense to just do the whole thing in Frisco?
I do think some players would prefer, to keep it abbreviated and not drawn out and, in the same place. I know that was an issue from the very moment I started covering their training camp. Remember when they went San Antonio yep. and Oxnard and they had the Hall of Fame that year? So there's a lot of reasons to not like it. I think it comes down to raising awareness and PR for the Cowboys, right? And we got a footprint in Southern California, and a lot of those Cowboys fans who are down there aren't considering, leaving and joining another fan base. Okay, another Mike Sando take here. He says, Mike Holmgren's a huge snub in favor of a couple of guys that were prominent TV stars. And he throws out the question, how valuable is being on TV when it comes to getting into the Hall of Fame for these old coaches? And it's now three in a row. The last three coaches to get in have been TV stars. Dave Cowher and Jimmy, this time around, it was Tony Dungy, the most recent one a couple of years ago. So
I bet it's important to some extent, because it goes back to the TO thing. By football playing standards, you're a first ballot Hall of Famer, but you don't go. Why? Because people don't like you. Well, if you're on TV every weekend and people are watching you and you have some personality, people probably like you.
Yeah.
So that'll probably give you a nice nudge in the right direction, if nothing else.
I mean, Bill Cowher was great for a long time with the Steelers. No doubt he deserves to be in. Jimmy Johnson was brilliant for a shorter time, but no doubt he deserves to go in. What Mike Holmgren... what did he get? One Super Bowl with the Packers, appeared in three? Did he get to one with the Seahawks and another one with the Packers? Or was it just the one appearance and the one championship with Brett Favre? I forget what happened there in late 90s. I know Denver came back and got one.
We don't like the late 90s. We're more fans of the early to mid 90s around here.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. So, taking two teams has got to be worth, to me, when I'm evaluating Hall of Fame, longevity, how many years were you in compared to how many years you made the playoffs and everything. But if you go and you take Green Bay, who had experienced a decade of being pathetic, and you're like, hey, look at this, we're champions again. And then you go to Seattle and without a guy like Brett Favre, it was Matt Hasselbeck. You're like, boom, we're back in the Super Bowl now. A team that had never gotten close to that level. I think that's pretty impressive, and he deserves it. But
yeah, back-to-back Super Bowls. The 96 season and the 97 season. They won the Super Bowl in the 96 season. They lost it the 97 season. And then he took Seattle in the 05 season to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, pretty dang impressive. Okay, no fish. Let's go over some national championship storylines, including odds to win it all next year. What do the Longhorns, Aggies, and Sooners odds look like? We'll talk about that. What was Odell Beckham Jr. doing, handing out wads of cash, celebrating with his LSU brethren? That and more coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Mike Fisher has the day off. We do have another winning time coming up before too long right here on your Turn It On, Leave It On station. Let's talk national championship games. Some good talking points coming out of that bad boy. And the segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the office of Frankel & Frankel, 214-333-3333, or jump online there to frankelfirm.com. And before we get to the tales of the game and the post game and everything, how about who's favored to win it all next year? You have the odds are out. And, with Joe Burrow heading to the NFL now, and Clemson is coming on back with Trevor Lawrence. They are not a clear favorite, but a favorite nonetheless at 9-4. Second best odds, Jeffrey.
I don't know. I don't think it'll be LSU. Maybe Bama with no quarterback?
That would be the second after Clemson?
Ohio State.
Ohio State, yes. They are at 3-1.
Okay, and Fields has to come back?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got one more year.
Okay.
There's a significant drop-off to the team with the third best odds to win the 2020 college
Clemson,
football national
then
team.
Ohio State, then I'll shoot.
Returning quarterback.
It has to be a returning quarterback?
No, it doesn't have to be.
Alabama just because of how great they always are.
I'll agree.
Yes, Alabama sitting at 6-1, and then tied with the fourth best odds are two teams which hail from the same conference.
The same conference will be the LSU. SEC, Georgia, and LSU.
You got it. Okay. There he is. Jeff Kavanaugh coming through once again.
It's LSU, right?
Yes, LSU and Georgia are sitting there at
8-1. Oh, they're both tied.
I don't even know who either of their quarterbacks are going to be.
I'm sure they'll be really good.
Yeah, maybe it'll be Derek King, the Houston quarterback. He's transferring. He announced yesterday.
I've been told by multiple people, and maybe you were one of them, but I know another one I won't mention because I don't want like him to be like a hater of that kid. I've been told he's not that good.
I don't know. I haven't seen him play enough.
Okay.
But I would assume that he's transferring because he thinks he has a better chance.
But I have heard from somebody else. It's like, hey, I get it. The Houston guy sat out to try to put himself in a better position, but that he might be really overplaying how good he actually is at football.
I'm just trying to get to the league. Do what you got to do to try to get there.
All right, schools of regional importance here as we're going over the 2020 national championship odds here. OU, how they looking? I mean, I'm sure they got somebody lined up to play quarterback. Is it going to be Rattler, Spencer Rattler,
yeah,
the kid?
Rattler would be the quarterback.
Maybe a transfer could be in the making.
They're going to lose their two best defensive players. They're going to lose CeeDee Lamb. Center went back, I believe.
They need to be keeping their best defensive players to have any shot.
Yes. I'll bet that Lincoln Riley makes him the favorite in the Big 12, but Texas gets to keep their quarterback. That helps.
The good news is they have the same championship odds as storied programs like Notre Dame, Penn State, and Auburn, but also have the same odds as Texas A&M and Oregon, 30-1 for OU.
Okay, so we've already moved past the teams that have a chance to win it.
Yeah.
That's about it.
And then UT's 40-1. That thing right there is just fascinating, right? Because this is the last year that you can go, right, where you think that Tom Herman's going to follow through on any of that potential.
Oh, I already don't think he will. But you get your quarterback back, and he's a good college player, so that's helpful. But he's also going to lose Colin Johnson and Devin Duvernay. It'll be tough for Texas, but it'll be tough for most teams that aren't named Clemson and Ohio State, I guess.
All right, it is the G-Bag Nation here talking national championship storylines. How about Odell Beckham Jr. getting the world excited as he was handing out wads of cash to players after the game? A lot of people saying, why is he doing that? It's against the rules. And it would be against the rules, right? I know he also gave everybody on the team before the game a set of headphones, and that was approved.
I don't know how it works.
Okay.
I have no idea how the NCAA works because I would assume you can't give every player a $350 pair of Beats, but apparently you can.
Maybe you have to like give the school a cut.
Okay, and then he gave Justin Jefferson a wad of $100 bills on the field, which an athletic staffer then apparently told a publication it wasn't real money. It looked quite real. And then he gave money to Ja'Marr Chase, who's not eligible for the draft. So that's probably not okay, except that maybe it's fake money. I don't know. What's the benefit if you're Odell Beckham to running around with fake money and giving it to the players? That seems far-fetched.
I think he was doing a bit like you're securing the bag by winning this championship.
Okay.
You know? So maybe it was an illustration. I don't know. You know, maybe it was hell with the NCAA. We're champions. They'll never take this away. And if they want to punish me for that as well, that's fine. But it's, you know, a misdemeanor. It's like a traffic citation.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because I would think for any player, you know how the NCAA is, and you know you would have to be in quite a way to do that unintentionally. I can't imagine anybody would do that on accident.
No, you would tell them, hey, I appreciate that. Wait till we get in the locker room.
Yeah.
I'll see you in a minute. I'll take all your money.
And even if the, for the graduating players, it's still, they're still in the uniform and everything, dude. Like, we get it. They all get paid. The good players at good programs all get paid extra money. But we can't do it on camera.
I'm also not, but I'm not going to turn down a legend from my school who's there after I win the title. If he's handing me money and wants a high five, I'm taking it and we're high-fiving. We'll sort this out later, NCAA. I'll give it back.
I get it. And Odell's probably doing it because he hates the way that it's run. I get it. Like, he's trying to shove it in their face of like, here, you deserve this for what you just did for all the money that was raised for LSU football this year. You guys deserve a $100 bill from me. I'm proud of you. I get it. And Odell Beckham's actually proud that he's from LSU, that he's proud that he wore that jersey too. And it just, it has to be done illegally where nobody sees it, not illegally where everybody sees it.
Well, I bet that I bet Odell Beckham wishes that Joe Brady showed up in 2013 because his team had NFL corner Jalen Collins, NFL corner Tre'Davious White, awesome rusher Daniil Hunter, Quan Alexander, Jalen Mills.
Jeez.
Lamin Burrow? Oh, it's not Burrow. Okay, I was wondering if we had another Burrow. Jeremy Hill was the running back, and Alfred Blue. Dang. Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, and Zach Mettenberger, and that team lost 5 games.
Jeez, what a joke Les Miles was.
Oh, wait, no, that one only lost 3. The one before it, I believe, lost 5 games. But, man, what a weird thing to watch your team win the national title. You're like, what happened to my team? Yeah. How did we not do this?
We were more talented than y'all. We just probably couldn't figure it out. Hey, you know, they had bad momentum. They had bad mojo, and Orgeron changed everything, didn't he? I mean, that was the biggest underachieving group in college football. No disrespect to UT, who's been holding that mantle for decades. But I think over the last 10 years, LSU has been one of the biggest disappointing teams when you look at all their NFL prospects compared to postseason wins.
I want to ask SEC fan this, and I don't say SEC fan as a joke because every conference is like that. My conference is the best, and every other conference is terrible. But SEC fan who makes fun of the Big 12 all the time, the dude just threw 60 touchdowns, and the only guys to ever throw for more yards in a year both went to Texas Tech.
Hmm.
Are you guys, like, upset at how the SEC just won the national title? The spread offense is a joke, right? It's a bit.
Yeah.
But now the best team in the country just ran it and showed you.
They would say back, we can do it better and against legit defense.
Why didn't you do it 10 years ago?
They should have.
So you know what I was thinking about watching last night's game? Because I was very entertained by the game. I get it. It was long. I mean, I saw the complaints on Twitter as I was going to bed. Because with like 5 minutes to go, I kind of disengaged and finished up some work, getting ready for doing work, and went to bed. And I get it. It's too long of a game, but it's a very entertaining game because they're running a lot of quick offense. A lot of big plays are happening.
A lot of fake cramps.
So, fake cramps happening. It may be real cramps, but I was just thinking about all the sports in general. I think right now college basketball has a major issue not only with talent, but also with the way the game is played now. The game of basketball is played. You just dribble and you do your thing, whatever you want to do. Like, there's not ball movement. People aren't playing the game fast. They're actually playing the game slower than 20 or 30 years ago. And so we're not seeing, at least I think there's a lack of energy on wanting to even watch college basketball.
Yeah.
And when I think of...
Around here, at least.
Yes, but I think also around the country, but not in your major ACC places, I get that, or Kentucky, you know, your bluegrass and all that. But I thought of baseball, and I thought, I get what baseball's trying to do in that John Daniels, and it's not led by John Daniels, but a lot of people have come in and said, trying to win a baseball game, we should do it this way. It's going to be... It's not going to be as entertaining as the game used to be with guys trying to steal bases and the triple being in play and let's put the ball in play. But this maybe leads to more wins. And I think for college football and now somewhat pro football, one of the things that they have the advantage of, the analytics are speaking towards, we should play the game this way. What's that way? It's the most entertaining way to watch the game of football.
That's an interesting point, Mike.
But in basketball and baseball, the other two major sports in our country, they're saying, what do the analytics say?
Jack threes.
We should play it almost in an unentertaining way. We should do it this way where you're just like, so the ball's not moving and we're not going to play at a super fast pace. We got to find Luka with the ball. Our guy. We have to get the ball to him and he has to do his thing. And I get it. It leads to more wins and all this stuff, but it leads to also an unentertaining, not unentertaining, because I'm going to watch tonight. I love the Mavericks, but
it is kind of the Warrior style.
Yeah.
I think you do have a great point on baseball. Yeah. I guess this basketball still entertains me.
Okay.
But
as long as the guy with the ball is entertaining.
Warriors move the ball more.
Yeah, yeah. As long as the guys with the ball are stars, it's entertaining.
As long as Luka's entertaining, the Mavericks will be entertaining.
Yeah. I don't want to watch average teams jack 53s a game.
Yeah.
That would be a lot of misses. Yeah.
Or have a ball-dominant guy who's not exciting or great.
Yeah, with 8 turnovers. Okay, other national championship game storylines. Joe Burrow, he gave something as well. You had on one sideline, Odell Beckham Jr. giving money, and apparently he told the receiver Jefferson he was going to sell his Game Wore shoes for $200,000 afterwards. There was a lot of a giving mood going on, but Joe Burrow gave his championship jersey to Saints receiver Michael Thomas, which is odd. That's the thing I'd be selling to him or somebody. I'm not giving this thing away.
Right.
It's got to be worth. What do you think for mad LSU alumni who just love, you know? That's their team. And there's tons of LSU fans that don't care about anything to do with sports other than the LSU football program, right? So I think you could sell that for $100,000. He just gave it to Michael Thomas.
That is weird.
He's not even a Louisiana native guy.
It's a weird connection. I don't understand.
I think he's trying too hard to be from, you know, the Big Easy or whatever.
Okay.
That would be my only theory.
Yeah, it was also weird that Zeke was in the winning locker room with Odell Beckham.
Yeah.
He went to Ohio State. What are we doing?
I think he was just there.
He's hanging out with his buddy, just standing in the corner.
I think sports people, they like going to big games and, you know, checking in on the young stars and all that.
I do too. And look, Ezekiel Elliott has a right to do what he wants in his off time, whatever he wants to do. So I'm going to be critical of something that I know already is hypocritical. But I see him with Odell Beckham and I think, oh man, what kind of partying are they going to do tonight?
I bet they had fun.
This is somewhat my issue with Zeke is we kind of want to build the team around him. Whether we agree with it or not, the Cowboys have decided as an organization, we are going to kind of build our foundation around Ezekiel Elliott. And hopefully that changes with Dak Prescott, who keeps improving and becomes one of the 5 best quarterbacks in the NFL at some point. But right now, we've invested the money, the offensive line, the way that, the philosophies are talked about is kind of like Zeke Elliott is our success and everything works off of him. And I'm like, okay, I've seen it happen with Emmett and that was a long time ago. I'm kind of seeing it with Derrick Henry right now in the playoffs, but that dude has to be so committed to keeping his body in pristine shape. And I'm like, man, I don't know if you can do what we want him to do with the lifestyle that he has.
And what we want him to do, win, no matter what.
Win, no matter what. By the way, everybody's pointing out that Burrow played at Ohio State first, and that's your Michael Thomas connection. But you have to give that up when you go to LSU and win a national title.
So.
You're a Louisiana man now.
Yeah.
You got to let it go. You're about to be an Ohioan again.
I would hate to see, like, I know it's professional. You'd hate to see Verlander after he won the World Series for Houston, which we've been talking about a lot, and go, "That's for you, Detroit. We finally did it."
No, you can't do that.
No, it's not. Like, Detroit Tigers aren't celebrating your success with the Astros. They might be like, "Well, good for Verlander. He got a title," but they're not like, "We finally did it, Tigers."
Man, that's nuts by Burrow. I'm hanging on to everything I possibly can in the event I have to sell it if my career tanks.
Well, his career tanking would be fine. He gets a 5-year deal, number one overall pick. He'll have
you could get bamboozled by your finances guy, right?
Well, don't do that.
You need a bamboozled.
Watch your chickens.
You need to have gear rat hold just for that situation.
I agree. I probably would too.
Honey, we lost everything. The financial planner stole $12 million from us. At least I have this jersey.
I have 47 of them.
Yeah. Okay, it's winning time. Text the word WANDER, 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 just WANDER, to 72881. Text WANDER to 72881. Your next chance to win $1,000 in this national Turn It On, Leave It On contest coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. But coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. Where are we going with that, Mike?
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about the punishment, but we'll also talk about how this player honestly has no weakness in his game.
Another big day with the Astros scandal. Here's Mike Bacsik with your Baseball Nuggets.
It is. It's still fresh. It's just a little over 24 hours old that the Astros lose 4 draft picks. They lose $5 million, and they end up losing A.J. Hinch and Lunau, their general manager, for good. I wonder if the season goes bad, if they'd be like, "Hey, you guys want to come back? I know I fired you, but it didn't go that great without you." So Anyways, I'll just reset how we started the show. I think I was wrong. So if you heard me yesterday, I was satisfied with the punishment of the Houston Astros. But as I got home and kind of just soaked it all in and read some stuff and listened to some stuff, it probably should have been worse. And owners of the other teams are saying it should have been worse. They're not really satisfied with what the punishment was.
So I believe I saw that the fine number, where my opinion is it was about 20 times too low, but apparently in the Major League bylaws, that's all they can fine a team.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's the max. Congrats. The owners have built in that they can't get hurt financially. How about that?
Well, you know, that's a really interesting point. I didn't know that, but kind of to what Mike was saying, I think a ton of people even changed their minds more when they found out earlier today how many MLB owners are really disappointed, and then they get a chance to have their say. And to me, that influenced me quite a bit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when the report came out that they're telling teams, hey, be quiet about this, we need the story to go away, now it just kind of verifies that everything's not on the up and up. I already had my suspicions that it's low because the MLB offices look at their relationships with the teams as we're partners. Yeah. And we're just going to do enough to give everybody else enough of a feeling that justice has been done, but not enough to really hurt you, because that would hurt everybody.
Yeah.
It's a weird and unfortunate situation in sports. And I know no league would ever do it, but they need to make the commissioner and the league a truly impartial governing body if they want it to be fair and avoid situations like this that are just rife with nepotism.
I agree with you. I don't think the Astro fan is going to think less of that championship, and we talked a little bit about that yesterday, or kind of jump off the Astros bandwagon. Because I was thinking about me, like, let's just say one of our teams would have done this and we would get to celebrate a championship, but let's just say they didn't win a championship, but we found out they really cheated and now they're really going to be punished. And you just look at kind of where the Astros are at right now. They don't have a manager, a general manager. The Ryan family left because they were getting frustrated with, I think, the Cranes, not AJ Hinch or the general manager. They've just gone through a lot. Then they had the situation in the playoffs where, after winning the American League, they had their assistant general manager, Taubman, go do something stupid. They had to fire him. Like, I mean, they got a lot of things that they're probably not very proud of over the last 2 to 3 years that are being exposed. They do have a championship out of it and been very successful in winning the division and postseason for the most part, but
they look like immoral losers, complete D-bags.
I'm just wondering, and I agree with you, is what would it take to really lose my fandom of a team and switch or never pay attention to that team? Because, look, I'm mad at the Cowboys for this 20-plus years of just really, to me, my opinion, ruining a historic franchise that was on the level of Yankees and Lakers, and as it's not going down in popularity, but going down in kind of being a championship organization. But yet, I tried over the years, if you've listened to the G-Bag Nation, I tried kind of being an Andrew Luck Colts fan. I've tried kind of hitching my wagon to Pat Mahomes, and I'm rooting kind of for Pat Mahomes, but it's not nearly the same as when I'm rooting for a good Cowboys team. And with the Mavericks and Rangers and Stars, like, I'm kind of like, I grew up here, so these are the teams I root for. I can enjoy other players or kind of root against teams or root for this guy to win something, but it's not the same as my team. I'm just wondering, as an Astro fan, if you're like, I don't want to be an Astro fan anymore.
I bet there are a couple. I'd like to hear from them, but I don't know if there's any in the audience, right? It's got to be that guy who's like, there's a code of honor. We live with integrity, you know, that super type A dialed in guy who's all about right and wrong. But I think those guys are going to be rare. And I don't know, maybe I'm a bad person, Mike, but I wouldn't care at all. I just want my team to win. You know, it's sports. The people that are offended and outraged and care are the team that you cheated to get that victory against.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think I would do it. You know, does that make me a bad person? I don't think so, because it's obvious everybody in the Astros was doing it.
Yeah.
That's just what we would do in competitive situations.
And it's fun. Last night we were watching the national championship game and a Gatorade commercial come on that makes me want to throw up. I think you guys know which one I'm talking about. Dwayne Wade's on it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because my son, I don't know why he always questions me on this. You know I hate Dwayne Wade, Jake. Like, my 11-year-old.
He's trolling you.
Yeah, he's like, So
hey,
why,
Dad, why, he's like, why do you
so
hate
you
him
don't
so
like
much?
Dwayne Wade? And I'm like, and I shouldn't say these
he's
things.
He's probably
right,
nudging your other
I go,
boy.
I
like,
hate Dwayne
watch
Wade.
This.
And I go, honestly, Jake, I don't know the guy at all. He's doing a commercial for Gatorade, but.
You try like, to be the mature dad there?
Yeah, but yeah. I still can't. I'm like, Jake, but I do hate him. I hate Dwayne Wade. And I wish I didn't, and I know I shouldn't. I don't even know that. I don't even know him as a human being at all, but I hate him. And the reason I hate him is not truly his fault. It's because in 2006,
he was flopping
I believe
his ass off.
Somewhat the refs and the league commissioner at the time, David Stern, wanted, I think, they loved Dwayne Wade and hated Mark Cuban. And I don't know which trumped either or if it was 50-50 on what they needed to get done. And this is my opinion, but I think they tried their best, David Stern, to fix the 06 finals. And so I hate Dwayne Wade because of it forever. I somewhat hate the Miami Heat. I don't hate them anymore because Dwayne Wade's not on it. But like throughout that whole time, I really hated whatever team Dwayne Wade was on. And I'm wondering if you are a Dodgers fan. Will you have that hate for the Astros the way I have the hate for the Miami Heat?
Oh, I don't know. Can you get that hate a year and a half later? That's a good question.
No, I can't. You can't find retroactive hate, can you?
Maybe if you already really hated them for a lot of other stuff that happened during the series, this adds to it significantly. Okay. But I don't think you can birth real passionate sports hate, Jeff.
No, I don't either. I don't either. And I know, like, what happens is, because I've already seen this on social media, is every Astro fan is like, whatever, you can't take it away. I loved watching my team win. It was incredible. But every other team's fan base would just be like, yeah, it wasn't real. They didn't actually do it. And then you'll just move along.
Yeah. I do love the idea of taking down the banners, though, or stuff like that.
I mean, it would be interesting if they – I don't think they're going to go back and repunish. I think once you hand it out, it's handed out. I don't think
– Yeah, they're dealing with damage today.
Yeah, but it would have been interesting if they would have said, look, there's nothing we can do. We're not going to take it out of the record books. We'll asterisk it, and we're going to have to asterisk the Boston Red Sox too. But in 2017, you just can't have it in your building anymore, and you can't sell any product – that is retroactive or whatever, 2017 division champs or World Series champs or American League champs, and the same with the Boston Red Sox, which is probably coming next week. We're probably going to get another one with the Boston Red Sox and Alex Cora, and we'll see if they just give them – I wonder if it'll be the exact same, except Alex Cora I think will get more time because he was part of both.
Yeah.
But I wonder if we'll see the Boston Red Sox lose 2020 and 21 draft picks, get fined $5 million, and Alex Cora is suspended for 2 years, and their general manager is suspended for a year.
I think so. You know, I think it should be a little bit more, and I guess we should be happy in a way that it's significantly more than the Patriots got, but it could be so much more, and we really need to, you know, take a hard look at exactly how these things are organized.
All right, so my last nugget I want to get to, there's a really interesting article when it comes to Major League Baseball on just the stats of these hitters were the best versus each pitch type. So they break down who was the best four-seam fastball hitter last year in Major League Baseball with 100 plate appearances, at least 100 plate appearances, and it's Jorge Soler. And I'm going to stop right there because I'm going to go down to what do you do? I mean, I had to sit in a chair and read scouting reports and figure out how to get guys out. What do you do when you get this report? And there's more numbers that go into it, but here's the basic numbers. Mike Trout against four-seam fastballs, he's the 11th best hitter in Major League Baseball, and that's by far the worst pitch.
Okay, so
out
we're throwing
all
him
the
fastballs.
Hitters in baseball, you throw him four-seam fastballs, and he's only the 11th best hitter in baseball. When it comes to two-seamers.
Throwing at his head, Mike.
Two-seamers and sinkers, he is the best in Major League Baseball. Cutters and sliders, he really struggles. He's only the fifth best hitter in all of Major League Baseball off of that pitch.
Okay, so no sinkers.
Curveballs. Well, if you throw him a curveball, he's the sixth best hitter in all of Major League Baseball. And then when it comes to changeups and splitters, he is the best in Major League Baseball off of those pitches.
Sounds like you got to throw him the EFIS.
This is amazing. Like, to me, it's amazing. Everybody has a weakness.
Yeah, knuckleball.
They're
that's
like,
what you got
to
go
yeah,
with.
And I guess he doesn't have enough plate appearances against knuckleballs to do this. But it's just when you look at Mike Trout, and he's not on a good team, and he doesn't get to play in the postseason. But then when you check out these numbers, everybody has a weakness, and Barry Bonds didn't. So I shouldn't say everybody does. Like, Barry Bonds did not have a weakness really either. And you can get him out. He doesn't bat 500. But when you look at related to all the other Major League Baseball players in the game, besides four-seam fastballs, he is top six in every category. And in the one that he struggles, he's the 11th best hitter in Major League Baseball.
He's a machine. There's nothing you can do with Mike Trout.
By the way, in this article, the Rangers have nobody in the top five in any pitch.
Sweet.
They did have Hunter Pence. He was third overall in cutters and sliders, but he's not. He's a free agent.
There's some real good news here, Mike.
Okay.
Rangers aren't losing any draft picks for cheating with this swinging and missing that's been going on.
So, and now Trout, will Rendon bat behind him? Is he about to have the best protection he's ever had, too?
Rendon and Trout, guess who's best at fastballs low in the zone, second best?
Rendon.
So they have Mike Trout. So if we're a sit, and Kluber is a sinker ball guy somewhat. He does throw four-seam fastballs, too, but when I remember him as at his best, he keeps the ball low in the zone. And Trout and Rendon are number one and two in Major League Baseballs when it comes to sinkers or two-seam fastballs.
You don't want to go low against them, do you?
Nope. And it did talk about, I'll probably mention it tomorrow if we get more into it, about Yordan Alvarez and that unbelievable rookie season he had with the Astros, that as the season progressed in playoffs, he will probably stop seeing the pitches that he bats approximately 500 on.
Ooh, smack that pitch up. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
Okay, there's Leighton Vander Esch news. We got to get this Leighton Vander Esch news. We'll do some draft talk as well for you as Cowboys Twitter's coming up next in the G-Bag Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.